Thank you. It is good to have you join with us again at the same time each week, and we do count it our privilege to be able to come into your homes and to share in this time with you. We do hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along. We're speaking now on the philosophy of Martin Luther, a man born 1,500 years after Christ, and yet colleges and schools and preachers and churches are many of them are named after this man. The Bible tells us in the Word of God, if we go to Jeremiah chapter 17, many places in the Bible, the middle verse of the Bible says in Psalms 118:8, it's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Now, we come to Jeremiah. He had the same problem, and God had told him. He said in chapter 17 and verse 5, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. But blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord is." So what we're saying is just simply this. When a man starts an organization, and we have people that follow a man, then God says, you know, the following this man and not following the Lord, and usually what happens when a man throws out his philosophy, he starts a denomination, or he starts some kind of organization, and the Lord says, that the cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. In other words, the Lord wants us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And God wants you to study the Bible for yourself. It is true that we have pastors and we have teachers and so forth, and that's what God wants. It is true that pastors that study the Word of God and teach the Word of God, and that is correlating all verses that deal upon one particular subject and not extracting one verse out in order to make it fit his philosophy. This is what Martin Luther has done. Martin Luther's philosophy is, and I shall quote from his catechism, "It works. What is the benefit of baptism, or what benefit does baptism give?" Martin Luther says it works forgiveness of sins, it rescues from the death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. So we want to begin to look, and he quotes then in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 19 and so forth. So we're going in our Bibles to Matthew in chapter 28 in verse 19 and see if this verse gives eternal life. Now, we'll notice here, at the end here, there's only 20 verses in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. So let's begin to read here in verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, there are two interesting things when you look this up in the Greek, and it's very important. If we look here in verse 19, the Word of God says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, the word "teach" is a Greek word that means to make disciples out of. The Greek word is used in the transitive sense, and it means go teach or make disciples out of any and everyone, and it's used in the active voice, which means don't stop. So, first of all, the word "teach" should be translated "make disciples out of." In other words, when you make a disciple, a follower of Jesus, it's because they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to follow him because he is the payment for their sin. He is the Messiah, and he is the one who came to this world to die upon the cross and to save his people from their sins. And therefore, they are, and we are, to take the gospel to the lost and to tell them that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And John recorded in chapter 14, verse 6, to make it perfectly clear that it's not water baptism, and water baptism does not take away your sins, that he said in John 14, 6, Christ himself speaking said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father unto the Father but by me." He did not say, "but by me in water baptism." He said, "but by me." And the reason is he went to the cross to pay for our sins, so we don't have to go to hell and do it ourselves. Now, Martin Luther uses Matthew chapter 19, and with using Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, tells that this verse states that water baptism here is what forgives your sins, rescues you from death and the devil, and gives you eternal salvation to all who believe this. Well, first of all, this verse does not teach any such thing. So, Mr. Luther, you have added to the Word of God and so forth, and it does not rescue me from death and the devil. I don't see anything in this verse that says that, and I don't see anything that gives eternal salvation to all that believe that you're baptized. It says, go therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, that is, lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We now have making disciples. We have saved people who have their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, after they're saved, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I don't find anything when you're baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's after they have been made a disciple, after they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And by trusting Christ as your Savior, you have your sins forgiven. As we said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And there's nothing there about baptism, Mr. Luther. Evidently, you've never read that verse. But in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, that is, through his death, his burial, and resurrection. So when you tell me it works forgiveness of sins, you're lying to me, Mr. Luther, and rescues me from death and the devil. You're lying to me again, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. No, Mr. Luther, this verse teaches no such thing, and I don't know why you would recommend it unless you have inserted, which you have, your philosophy, which absolutely is opposed to the Word of God. This verse teaches no such thing, and all a person has to do is read it. You make disciples first by leading them to Jesus Christ, and you teach them to follow Christ, and then you baptize them. And then after they're baptized, but baptism is nothing more than a testimony that you are now identified with Jesus Christ. It's a public testimony, you see. So we continue on now, and I want to use another verse, because we find out that Luther comes down and he uses a verse found in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Everywhere there is a baptism, there goes Martin Luther. So let's go over here, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark, and let's look here in chapter 16, all right? We come over here to Mark here in chapter 16, in verse 16, but let's begin here in verse 15 and so forth. And in verse 15 it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Word of God tells us, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And then he goes on to say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, that's very interesting if you take what it says. Why did he say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? You see, and that's exactly what it says. Now, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It doesn't say believeth not and is not baptized. So why in the world, where does baptism fit in here? Because all of the other scriptures that we find in John and so forth and all through the Bible say it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the Philippian jailer asked those, said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. As we've said many times in Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39, the Word of God says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. All through John and all through the epistles and that, it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the great message that Paul preached. Now, at one's first reading, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, would seem contradictory to the multiplicity of verses which say that we're saved by believing only. Knowledge, believe, and trust, belief, faith, and trust are all synonymous words for trusting in the Lord Jesus if used in for salvation, you see. Now, for example, in John chapter 5, in verse 13, the Word of God states authoritatively that a person can know with absolute certainty that they possess eternal life. Yet there's no mention of water baptism whatsoever. Notice what it says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I don't see anything about baptism here, Mr. Luther. So when you're pulling a verse out, like Mark 16, and absolutely misused Matthew chapter 28, we find out that there's definitely a contradiction, which you've got to explain, sir, if you're going to say that water baptism gives you eternal life. But let's continue on now and begin to see what Peter says. Peter states that it is not water baptism or any human effort that redeems a person, but only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this contradicts you, Mr. Luther, who says that water baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. Peter disagrees with you, Mr. Luther. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and notice in verse 18 and 19. Here's what we read. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things or silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He doesn't say with the precious baptism. He doesn't say that. I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, holy baptism, as we've said many times, that you have brainwashed so many people with, that they even print it in their pamphlets now because of what you have in your catechism. But it's found nowhere in the Bible. And no wonder you're always referring people to read your small catechism. Read your small catechism. I don't know, Mr. Luther, why you don't tell people to read the Bible, the Holy Bible, not holy baptism, sir, but Holy Bible. So the Word of God says in 1 Peter 1:18, here we have the blood again, exactly the same as Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. This is Peter talking. Peter, you're telling Mr. Luther, you're wrong, buddy. Your philosophy is going to mislead people right into hell. Let me read it one more time for you, and you ought to get your Bible out, mark these verses, and go read them for yourself. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, or silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. In other words, you followed your fathers and your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers. You should have looked into the Word of God yourself. But with the precious blood of Christ, not baptism of Christ, the blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The reason for that, Peter stated that so emphatically, was that it took a person who was sinless to go to the cross and to pay for the sins of others. See, if Christ had had any sin whatsoever, then he could not have paid for the sin of somebody else. He would have had to die and spend eternity in hell and pay for his own sin. But he was sinless. We find out that Pilate declared, I find no fault in this man. His wife told him, said, you know, this man is sinless, and let him go. And I find no fault in him. He's absolutely sinless. The Word of God tells us that God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He came unto his own received him not, but he came to save his people from their sins. He didn't say, I came to have you baptized to save the people from their sins. But here again, Mr. Luther, Peter disagrees with you. Now, if we should take time to check, and a person would do this with their concordance, and read all of the verses that promise eternal life by faith and belief only, the Gospel of John, where belief and faith are mentioned approximately 100 times, it would be a good place to start. Let me give you just a couple while we're here. First of all, if we go to John chapter 3 and verse 36. Now, this is the same chapter where John said, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit. And we found out there that the water is referring to the Word of God, because when you believe the Word of God, it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. I mean, when you believe the Word of God, how that Christ died and was buried and rose again, and whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life, that believing the Word of God and the record that he gave of his Son cleanses you. I mean, that's why the Word of God is referred to as water, born of the water. Now, and of the Spirit, you see. So, let's look at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I don't see anything about water baptism, Mr. Luther. In other words, all the scriptures that tell us, the many hundreds of scriptures that tell us it's by faith, it's by belief, and nowhere in the Old Testament, Mr. Luther, do we find anybody, any baptism given. We don't find that Abraham was baptized. We don't find that Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons, we don't find anybody was baptized, Mr. Luther. And yet, you're telling me salvation is by baptism, by sprinkling a little water, and that is going to give you eternal life instead of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you were really trusting Jesus Christ, now, many of the Lutherans say, oh, I believe that Christ would die, and he would bury it, and he rose again. Yes, you say that, but you really don't believe that at all. You just say it. Because if you believed it, you would never say, water baptism washes away my sins. What you believe is, historically, that Christ died and was buried and rose again, but you really are not trusting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to do what Martin Luther said, and the Roman Catholic Church says. You have to be water baptized, and then that puts into effect what Christ did upon the cross. So you're really not trusting the completed work of Jesus Christ. You have to complete it with Martin Luther's philosophy that being baptized is what gives you eternal life, and that's what you have brainwashed people right here in your pamphlets by your preachers and the writings that they have followed you, sir, that water baptism washes away your sins. Now, let's go on down. That was John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. No water baptism, Mr. Luther. And then in John chapter 6, verse 47, now that is Christ speaking. That's him speaking. So he either lied, Mr. Luther, or you lied. One of the two. And in John 6, 47, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I don't see any water baptism, Mr. Luther. So you're going to have to explain to the people that you're trying to brainwash with water baptism gives you eternal life, why that Jesus Christ says that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He didn't say anything about water baptism, Mr. Luther, at all. So explain the so-called contradiction that you have projected, sir, because of your saying, water baptism washes away your sins. Comparing these verses with Mark chapter 16, verse 16, there either has to be an explanation or we definitely have a contradiction between Peter, Mark, and John. Let me draw your attention to the last phrase in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth shall not be damned. All right. We find out here, he does not say, he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. He does not say that whatsoever. Only those who believe not shall be damned, in perfect accordance with John's statement in John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him, that's Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, both Mark chapter 16, verse 16, and John chapter 3, verse 18 state that a person is condemned if they believe not. But nothing is said about being condemned if one is not baptized. All scriptures agree to this conclusion. Since we are not condemned for not being baptized, then what in the world does the opposite mean when Mark says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Well, it's easy to understand this verse when the child of God realizes there are two who recognize that he is justified as being saved. And this is the thing that is very seldom brought out. Your Bible teachers have brought this out for years, but your cult leaders have not brought it out because they could not comprehend it. And this is one of the great things that Martin Luther could never comprehend, and that's why that he thought that the epistle of James was an epistle of straw, and why that Romans, which says that you are saved by faith in Christ and believing in Christ, even Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He didn't say anything about believing and being baptized at all. Now, when we understand this, let's go on and begin to see how this is justified. We find out here the believing, in, as we've said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, justifies the person in the eyes of God as being saved. This is our position in God's eyes, our salvation by belief or faith. Their public baptism is their testimony, justifying them as being saved in the eyes of man. The lost will not recognize and justify a person as being a child of God unless he hears the testimony and sees the works comparable to or compatible to a Christian. Baptism declares, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This identification is justification in man's eyes. That I am saved, believeth, in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, is to the book of Romans what baptism is to the book of James. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That is justification in God's eyes. Notice in James 2, 17 and 18, where man cannot see our faith unless it is outwardly evidenced. Notice here in verse 16 and 17 and 18, Even so faith that hath not works is dead. That's in man's eyes, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, I have works, but show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. That's justification in man's eyes. There's no sense telling me you're a Christian and telling me about Christ, and then you lie about everything, you sit in the bars and drink, you run other women, and you're just a scoundrel. You know, or you may, as some say, you're just a nerd. And yet you walk around and you're saying, oh, I go to church and I this and that. No, if you say that you have faith and hath not works, your faith is dead, because it's going to fall on dead ears. Therefore, he that believeth justifies me in God's eyes as being saved, and my baptism justifies me as being saved in God's eyes, or in man's eyes, I should say. Believeth is my position before God, whereas baptism is my walk and my testimony before men. Now, if we go in our Bibles over to Romans chapter 6, and let's go over there just a second, you'll find out this is exactly what baptism is. It's a public testimony. We go here to Romans chapter 6, and I would like for you to notice here in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And this is what it testifies. When we find out that we are saved and we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we are to be water baptized. And when we're water baptized, we are to be submerged. That's the only baptism that God gives in the Bible. So all of these preachers and your Catholic priests and your Lutheran ministers that grab a handful of water out of the bowl are not following Scripture whatsoever. They're not baptizing you. They are just following what they want to do. But the scriptural means of baptism is to be submerged. You're to go down into the water, go under the water, and when we baptize someone, we put them under the water, which is a public testimony of them, symbolically showing that going under the water, their faith is in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going under the water shows death. When we bring them up out of the water, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, it is a public testimony symbolically showing my faith is in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm publicly testifying to that by my water baptism, going under the water, showing death. I believe Christ died for me. I'm raised up out of the water. And I believe that Christ was raised, according to the scriptures here, for my justification. And my faith is in him, and I'm not ashamed to show that by my water baptism, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But then, Mr. Luther, you're telling me there's holy baptism, and that is the first lie that you project to get people to follow you with the rest of the lies that you project, sir, to lead them into trusting a few drops of water that your preachers follow you and sprinkle on somebody's head. Pull scriptures out of context, and don't follow and correlate other scriptures that all of the scriptures are saying to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and you're following Mr. Luther, who says water baptism forgives your sins, it rescues you from the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all that believe. But I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, we find out that Peter disagrees with you, John disagrees with you, Paul disagrees with you. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You see, And then Paul did baptize, but he put things in order. The first order was that don't baptize people thinking that they're going to heaven by water baptism, Mr. Luther. I came not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. If baptism washed away your sins, then Christ died in vain. And you've got it all backwards, sir. You got the cart before the horse, and that's the difference between heaven and hell. I'll tell you, Mr. Luther, I don't believe a word you say. I don't believe any of your philosophy. And I thank God for the Word of God, where I can compare your sayings in your catechism, sir, according to the Word of God, and they surely do not agree. One leads to heaven, and the other leads to hell. And I'll tell you what, my faith is in Jesus Christ, and my arm of flesh is not in another man such as you or any other prophet, or I'm going to say false prophet. And therefore, sir, mine is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting His death, His burial, His resurrection. And I know that He died for me, and He promised that I would put my trust in Him and believe that He did that for me. I would never perish but have everlasting life. Mr. Luther, there's where I stand, and I'm diametrically opposed to you and any of your followers that preach those kind of things, that water baptism gives you eternal life. You're lying, sir. I don't believe you. I'll trust Jesus Christ over you any day of the week. Thank you for joining with us. We hope that you'll take time to write. We'd be glad to hear from you. Our services begin. We'd love to have you come join with us on Sunday morning. We teach the Bible. You'll learn it. It'll be a thrill to you to go out and witness to other people and tell them how they can know to go to heaven. Our services begin Sunday morning from 10 to 11 and Sunday evening from 6 o'clock to 7. Our youth group, we have a wonderful youth group every Thursday night that begins at 7 o'clock until 9. Been so good to have you join with us, and we count it a privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. We just ask you to keep looking up, because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.